We all know our brother David, but I do ask for him your prayerful and careful attention as he gives us a message for the evening.
I'll do my best to keep you awake. Got a question for you. If I want to make it to heaven, what one thing can I do to guarantee my way to heaven?
Repent.
That would be a good start, wouldn't it? I have to do that every day. You know, Christ was asked that question, and he gave an answer. We can find that in Matthew chapter 19. Chapter of Matthew, and I want to go to the 16th verse. It says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thee wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, guess what this guy asked him? When the Lord told him, keep the commandments. He said, which one? Duh. And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all those things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Can you imagine that? The Lord said, get rid of everything you own, all your worldly possessions, and then follow me. And he was going to lead him right into where he could go to heaven, and he would know all the answers. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wasn't going to give up his best horse. He wasn't going to give up his fancy house just to go to heaven. No. I need my worldly things. So he just left. Said, yeah, that's not the answer I wanted. Do we do that? Marvin says, repent. Every day. Because I know I'm not perfect. And I'm not alone. Every day we have to repent if we did something, even not knowingly, we can do something. And so you say, well, if I offended anyone today, forgive. We have a song that says that, don't we? A little reminder. I want to go back to Proverbs chapter 8. I'm going to read 10 through 21. It says, "Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures." So the Lord says if you use wisdom, it can guide us, and it leads to better riches than you ever find on earth. Too bad that young man didn't understand that. Because when his life's over, he didn't have any of those riches he could take with him. He had to leave them there. And I'm sure that he did come face to face with the Lord. Because we all will. Regardless of how we live, when we die, we go to our Creator. It's what happens from that point on that is the most important. Can you imagine the Lord when he sees that young man again? He says, "Did you bring your money with you?" That's not going to get him into heaven, is it? Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to 53rd chapter of Isaiah. First, I'm going to read in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, verse 6. And then I'm going to back up and read 5. It says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And then verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And it goes right back to what Marvin said, repentance. Repentance is the path that the Lord opened up for us so that we could be healed. if you think he died for us and he took away all of our sins and we don't have to do anything, you're going to have a surprise. Because we still have the freedom of choice. Even though Christ has been sacrificed, that was just to open the door. Then you have to decide, am I going in or am I going to be like the rich boy and walk away? I have to make a decision here and live my life accordingly. Not as simple an answer as, which one of the commandments do I have to obey? There's more than 10. And we have to obey every one of them. Bob mentioned the first 10 this morning. But there's 1,000 more. That's why we have to study and learn. We have to use wisdom to figure out what we have to do besides repent. We have in the scriptures examples of people that live their life according to the will of the Lord and according to the things that their life's duty brought upon them. We can mention names that we know are real familiar to us. Job, Moses, Abraham. There's a lot of names that we can mention and say, well, if I was like him, I'd have it made. Well, that all depends. Can you think of anything Moses did that really didn't work in the Lord's plan? He broke all 10 commandments at once. That's kind of funny. But how about David? King David, through his lineage, we come to Christ. Did he ever do anything wrong? Oh my. Well, yes, he did. He committed murder, adultery, all sorts of things. It would have kept him out of heaven if he didn't repent. If I'd have lived at the time of King David, I probably wouldn't have liked him too much. It would give you the tendency to say, okay, what do I possess that he wants now, so he'll kill me. Just to get it. That's the kind of guy he was sometimes. Greedy. The same kind of guy that had riches, but he had envious thoughts of other people that had something he wanted. Not good. Not in the sight of the Lord. That's not the way you live. And so he had to receive blessings through repentance. And at the same time, he had to change his ways. What did Christ teach us about repentance? You can repent, but then sin no more. Don't do that again. Because eventually, if you repent, you do the same thing, you repent, do it over and over and over, it doesn't mean anything anymore. All it means is you still want to get by with it. Now, there are things that happen to us that way. There's things that make us angry. When we get angry, then we usually end up having to repent. Did the Lord get angry? Oh, yeah. And it wasn't without cause, was it? He had a reason to be angry at times because he was human. And when you're human, things affect you. Even when you don't see it coming, it can still affect you. And as I read there in the scripture, it said, we are all guilty. All of us, we're guilty. All of us need to repent. All of us need to be thankful that the Lord has paid the price for us as long as we follow after Him. Try to do better the next day. I'm going to switch books on you now. We've mentioned a few that we considered to be almost perfect people. I mean, the Lord used them and He provided for them when they needed protection, when they needed food. Look what He did for the Israelite people through Moses. So many things. What'd Moses do? He said, I can't speak in front of people. And the Lord said, then I'll use your brother. Your brother will be your words. Because Moses wasn't going to depend on the Lord, was he? To tell him what to say. Shoot, there goes another hero that wasn't perfect. You're going to have a hard time finding an example of someone like Job. But what did the Lord tell the young man that was rich? He said, it's easier to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to reach heaven. Was Job rich? You bet he was. He was a very rich man. But he still stayed true to the Lord. And if you search hard enough, you'll find in Scripture where it says that I created all things. I created the rich. I created the poor. I created the good. I created the evil. And I gave you life. What are you going to give me? Well, now. Let's read here in the book of Alma about what people did to try and please the Lord. Let's see, we're going to go to chapter 21, the book of Alma, and this will be page 468. That's where I'm going to start. Now remember, this is on this continent. And between North American, South American, Central America, all that area, that this all happens. Chapter 21 of the book of Alma. Verse 23 through 26. Now it came to pass, in the commencement of the 19th year of the reign of Judges, over the people of Nephi, that Helaman went forth among the people to declare the word unto them. For behold, because of their wars with the Lamanites and the many little dissensions and disturbances which had been among the people, it became expedient that the word of God should be declared among them. Yea, and that a regulation should be made throughout the church. So they had people that were falling away, that were descending to other things, worldly things. So Helaman says, we're going to have to do something about this. We're losing too many people. We're entering into too many wars because of the Lamanites. And so he went out there marching around Zarahemla to put down the things that Satan had put up for the people, to give them stumbling blocks, I guess you would call it. Said, the church is losing its people. I got to do something. And verse 26 says, and it came to pass that they did appoint priests and teachers throughout all the land over all the churches. And it came to pass that after Helaman had his brother had appointed priests and teachers over the churches, that there arose a dissension among them, and they would not give heed to the words of Helaman and his brethren. How discouraging is that? You got Helaman that's marching in, probably putting his life on the line to go in here and tell them what they're doing wrong. And they wouldn't pay any attention, wouldn't heed his word. So let's skip down a little bit here to verse 31. I'll read 31 through 35. It says, now the leader of those who were wroth against the brethren was a large and a strong man, and his name was Malachiah. Seems like any time you get a large and a strong man, when he opens his mouth, people listen. That was the case here. It says, well, he's a big, powerful man. We better listen to him. And Amalickiah was desirous to be a king. And those people who were wroth were also desirous that he should be their king. And they were the greater part of them, that the lower judges of the land. And they were seeking for power. So here you got people that are not only descending, but they want to be the leaders. You want to tell everybody else, hey, you got to come and join us, because we're going to be powerful. We're going to defeat you Christians. Oh, they call them Christians, all right. So here, Amalickiah, the big and strong man, goes up against Helaman. And Amalickiah got the majority of the people. Would you want to be Helaman at that point? Go on 33 to 35. And they had been led by the flatteries of Amalickiah that if they would support him and establish him to be their king, that he would make them rulers over the people. Oh, smart move. Hey, you follow me, I'll make you governor. Then they were led away by Amalickiah to dissensions. notwithstanding the preaching of Helaman and his brethren, yea, notwithstanding their exceeding great care over the church, for they were high priests over the church. And there were many in the church who believed in the flattering words of Amalickiah. Therefore, they dissented even from the church. Well, I guess a lot of people wanted to be important. They couldn't do it in the church, so they decided they'd just follow this guy and quit the church and be important. So now let's go down to verse 40 and read 40 through 45. Now it came to pass that when Moroni, who was the chief commander of the armies of the Nephites, had heard of these dissensions, he was angry with Amalickiah. There's that word again. Angry. Yeah. We get angry. And so, here we have Moroni himself gets angry. It came to pass that he rent his coat, and he took a piece thereof and wrote upon it, in memory of our God, our religion, and freedom, and our peace, and our wives, and our children. And he fastened it upon the end of a pole thereof. And he fastened it on the head plate, and his breastplate, and his shield, and girded on his armor about his loins. And he took the pole, which had on the end thereof his rent coat, and he called it the title of liberty. Do we have a title of liberty in the United States? It's more than a coat, isn't it? Something that people like to destroy, to disrespect. It's the flag of the United States of America. The same land that this stuff's going on in. History repeats itself. Helaman standing up against the evils, the ones that want to be governors, senators, congressmen. He's standing up against them right here. He says, this is my title of liberty, and it's on my armor, and it's on this pole. And it's for our freedom and for our families, for our peace. Verse 43. And he bowed himself to the earth, and he prayed mightily unto his God for the blessings of liberty to rest upon his brethren, so long as there should be a band of Christians remain to possess their land. You think it's the same today? That we have a band of Christians, and as long as there's Christians, there's a promise from God that he will protect them. He will fight with them. He will watch over them in all that they do in their battles. For thus were all the true believers of Christ, who belong to the church of God, called by those who did not belong to the church, and those who did belong to the church were faithful. Yea, all those who were true believers to Christ took upon them gladly the name of Christ, or Christians, as they were called because of their belief in Christ, who should come. And therefore, at this time, Moroni prayed that the cause of the Christians and the freedom of the land might be favored. Do we feel that the United States is favored by God? It says on our currency, "In God we trust." That's a pretty important statement. As we look around, we see more and more people that have to make a choice. If the door's open, do I protect my riches? Or do I go with the Lord and protect my family, my freedom? You got to make a choice. I want to go clear down to verse 132. And that will be about page 479. I'm going to read 132 and go through 141. And this is kind of what happened to him. And Moroni was a strong and mighty man. He was a man of a perfect understanding. Yea, a man that did not delight in bloodshed. A man whose soul did joy in the liberty and the freedom of his country. And his brethren from bondage and slavery. So here we got another mighty man. One that's ready to fight, but he doesn't want to fight. He doesn't like war. But he believes in freedom. Yea, a man whose heart did swell with thanksgiving to his God for the many privileges and blessings which he bestowed upon his people. A man who did labor exceedingly for the welfare and safety of his people. Yea, and he was a man who was firm in the faith of Christ, and he had sworn with an oath to defend the people, his rights, and his country, and his religion, even to the loss of his blood. This is a devoted man. A man that is willing to give everything for this country right here that we're living in. Says, "I give my life. I'll give everything for this country." Now the Nephites were taught to defend themselves against their enemies, even to the shedding of blood if it were necessary. Yea, and they were also taught never to give an offense. Yea, and never to raise the sword, except it were against the enemy. Except it were to preserve their lives. They were the Marines, the Army, the Navy. They were everything. They weren't going to start a war. They'd do their best to finish it if it started. And they were also taught never to give an offense. You hear about people. I've talked to Green Berets, people that were Border Patrol and stuff, and they used to taunt. When they were on patrol, they would taunt the enemy. These Nephites under Moroni would get in big trouble if they got caught doing that. The United States isn't quite that stout when it comes to don't offend anybody. Don't start a fight. The United States think they're tough. If they can goad somebody into doing something they're not supposed to do. Not all of them, but I tell you, there's a few out there that are not nice guys that are in the armed forces. But these people proved you don't have to be that way to be winners. So they were taught never to give an offense, yea, and never to raise the sword, except it were against an enemy, except it were to preserve their lives. And this was their faith, that by so doing, God would prosper them in the land. And in other words, if they were faithful in keeping the commandments of God, that he would prosper them in the land and warn them to flee or to prepare for war according to their danger. Moroni led these people in great wars, but he also had the wisdom to tell the people how to prepare for the Lamanites. They piled big banks of earth around their cities so that the Lamanites couldn't get their arrows with any accuracy into the city. And they fought with rocks, stones, no accuracy. But they had a passage that they would go in and out of. When the Lamanites would come in, try to go through that passage, they'd slaughter them. They were ready for that one. So this is the way that it went for quite some time. And you know, the Lamanites weren't ready for a defense like that. They'd go, well, we're not winning this. Verse 146. Still in chapter 21 of Alma. Verse 146. This is talking about the Nephites. It says they were sorry to take up arms against the Lamanites, because they did not delight in the shedding of blood. Yea, and this was not all. They were sorry to be the means of sending so many of their brethren out of the world into an eternal world unprepared to meet their God. Can you imagine that? He said, we don't want to kill these people because they're not ready. They're not ready to meet God. But they had to. They had to take care of business. I'm going to finish over in Helaman, the next book over, I think, after Alma. Chapter 2. And I want to go, this is page 551. This is what my note says. Page 551. Verse 24 through 28. And it came to pass that the work of the Lord did prosper unto the baptizing and uniting of the church of God, many souls, yea, even tens of thousands. Thus we may see that the Lord is merciful unto who will in the sincerity in their hearts call upon the holy name. Yea, thus we see the gate of heaven is open unto all, even to those who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, which is quick and powerful, which shall divide asunder all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil. And lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course across the everlasting gulf of misery, which is prepared to engulf the wicked and land their souls, yea, their immortal souls, at the right hand of God in the kingdom of heaven, to sit down with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and with all our holy fathers, to go no more out. And you humble yourself like Helaman and Moroni did. They didn't walk away. They said, "We've got a job to do, folks. Let's get her done. Let's ask the Lord to help us." And it worked. And they received that help. But it wasn't only in what they were doing, it was in eternal life that they could follow after God and live in their land of freedom, live in places that the wicked could not go. They couldn't do it because they thought their riches were better than the riches that the Lord had waiting for them. A pretty good lesson to us. So let's think about those things, especially in this time that we come into our land, our freedoms are controlled by politicians who want to be governors, who are greedy. They want to be our boss. And they're supposed to be working for us, and we end up working for them. That's the way life is. So let's take care and ask God to help us. Thank you for your time.